So last week we talked about providence, God's planning and God's management. We talked about in the psalm how God knows every breath we would take, every word we would speak, every one of our days that we would be alive. All week long, that was going on in my heart, my brain, and my mind, and I was kind of looking back over God's providence in my life. And as I was reflecting, I thought about how in the world I ended up in Pinarjo. I didn't really even know anybody here. I ended up in Pinarjo. And it wasn't under favorable circumstances. And while I was in Pinarjo, I was graced able to start my own roofing business. Again, at the time, not favorable conditions. And then one of the amazing factors is me coming to Grace Church almost 40 years ago. What took me by surprise is Christmas Eve, I heard a sermon from this pulpit that changed my life. What most of you don't know, at the time I was claiming to be an atheist. And I cannot tell you how humbled I am to be in this position right here. How humbled I am to be able to be a teacher and a lay leader. Thank you. And as I did that, there was a devotional this week by Jack Hayford. I'd like to read it to you. It's called The Will of God, and it's centered around Philippians 2:13. It is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. So many people moan, only if I could find the will of God in my life. Yet the will of God is found in your own heart. You can get good counsel, you can read helpful books, you can diagram your life on a kitchen table, but ultimately, the answer is in your heart. And when your heart is totally committed to follow Christ and walk in his ways, you can't miss the will of God. He'll get you there one way or another. Yes, the route may be roundabout. It may include a climb over some jagged mountains or a dip down through some dry, rocky valleys. But God, who knows both the beginning and the end of your days, will get you there. Get an amen? The scripture reading and reflection is from Matthew 6:31-34, and it's found in the Pew Bible on page 685, if you want to look it up and read along. So don't worry about having enough food or drink or clothing. Why be like the pagans who are so deeply concerned about these things? Your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. And he will give you all you need from day to day if you live for him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern. So don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. So planning for tomorrow is time well spent. Worrying about tomorrow is wasted time. Sometimes it's hard to tell the difference. But when you have careful planning and thinking about goals and steps and schedules, and when you are trusting God's guidance and trusting God's providence, that is time well spent. Worriers, by comparison, constantly worrying. They're consumed by fear and find it hard to trust God. They let their plans interfere with their relationship with God. They're probably thinking, I want to do it my way, not thy way. But if that's their thinking, the worrying will continue. So don't let worry about tomorrow affect your relationship with God today. God wants us to live in the moment. God assures us he's in control of our future. Now, what's this make the kingdom of God your primary concern? What's that all about? Well, when we make the primary concern God's kingdom, when we make that our first, we get earth thrown in. And when we concentrate on earth, we get neither. So basically what it's telling us, to make God first in your life, to fill your thoughts with his desires, and to take his character for your pattern. In the Bible, there are a lot of characters, aren't they? God took fishermen and made them apostles and disciples. God took a shepherd and made him a king. God took murderers, adulterers, and changed their hardened hearts and made them do God's will. But most of all, in the Bible, from beginning to end, is our example that we should emulate, Jesus Christ. Throughout the day, throughout the weeks, throughout the months ahead, we should be asking numerous times, what would Jesus do? The question, what is important to you? When's the last time you thought about that? God wants us to be thinking what's important to us. For you see, people and objects and goals and other desires all compete for priority. Any one of those things or numerous other things want to take over first place in our lives. And if you don't actively choose to give first place to God, something other than God will take over first place. Jesus tells us in Matthew 6, do not worry about tomorrow. Our future can be without fear if we learn to trust and we learn to obey. Now, Jesus wasn't saying we shouldn't plan or make calculations about the future. What he was saying to us, we're not to plan for the future out of fear. Plan for the future out of doubt. And most of all, plan for our future out of selfish concerns. We're to seek the Lord for specific directions and guidance, realizing that he will persevere and he will preserve both our future and our present. Then we're ready to carry out his purpose in confidence and faith. So what we're to do is believe in an all-knowing, all-loving God. Is it that hard? Believing is actually a win-win situation. The Apostle Paul in Romans 15:13 puts it this way. May the God of your hope so fill you with all joy and peace in believing. You've heard me say numerous times that word in is so important. It wants us to be in a fixed position of belief. And how do we do that? I gave you an example through the experiences of your faith. Each one of us can reflect on our past, and we can count many, many, many times God got us through some tough times. God got us through mountains that we thought were immovable. God got us through circumstances we thought were impossible. And here we are. That by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound and be overflowing with hope. Now, as soon as you start doubting, I know when I doubt it happens, I lose my joy and peace. I think we all do when we're doubting. But as soon as you start believing again, joy and peace come back. God has given us all a tool to keep us and keep ourselves radically happy and peaceful. All we have to do is believe. Now, of course, as soon as we start believing, the devil, Satan, and all the evils in the spirit world start screaming in our ears, "That's stupid." It's time for us to yell back, "It's not stupid." And then you'll hear, "Well, what if you don't get what you believe? What if I do get what I believe? And even if I don't get what I believe when I want it, it's a lot better going through life believing than it is doubting." So belief is a win-win situation. There is no way we can lose when we believe. We're able to liable to get what we're wishing for and hoping for and praying for, but even if we don't get it right away, we're still a lot more happy and peaceful than having unbelief, having depression, having anxiety. So it's vital that we keep a believing heart. Now, another important thing for us is we need to live in humility before God. We put ourselves in a place where he can give us refuge and protection from our spiritual enemies. But when we live in pride, protection from our spiritual enemies disappears. When we believe in God, when we believe we can take care of ourselves without God's help, the enemy has free reign over us. So this is why Solomon said in Proverbs 16:18, "Pride goes before the fall. Destruction and a haughty spirit produces the fall." Strong words indeed. If you want to live under God's mighty hand of protection, remember that you can't defeat your spiritual enemies on your own. Make sure you keep yourself humble and dependent on your mighty Heavenly Father. Pause right now. Open your heart. Follow me silently with this prayer, please. God of wisdom, forgive me when I think more of myself than I should. Keep me humble by reminding me often that you are my source of protection against my spiritual enemies. Do I get an amen? All right. Psalm 25, 21. "Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on you, Lord." Thoughts are the thermostat that regulates what we accomplish in life. Our thoughts, our mind, is where the battlefield is. With our spiritual enemies, it's the battlefield of the mind. And how my body responds and reacts to the input from my mind. If I feed my mind upon doubt and disbelief and discouragement, that is precisely the kind of day I'm going to have. And if I adjust my thermostat forward to thoughts filled with vision, vitality, and victory, we can count on that kind of a day. So, church, what side wins? the side you fill the most, the side you feed the most. See, thoughts, positive or negative, grow stronger when fertilized with constant repetition. That may explain why so many are gloomy and gray and they stay in that mood. And why those that are cheery and enthusiastic continue to be so. Some of you have heard this. This is one of my favorite Lennyisms. Everybody can brighten up a room. Some by coming, some by going. You need only one foreman in your mental factory. His name is Mr. Triumph. Well, he's anxious to assist you, but his name really is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, our ultimate helper. Now, God's been faithful to speak to me when I turn to his word. When I turn to his word, he offers hope. When I commit truth to memory and hold it to my circumstances, that hope sustains me. When worry comes strong, the Spirit brings scripture to the surface. I said this many and many times in Bible studies. A lot of times we come into a Bible study or read a devotion or come into church, and when we walk out of church, somebody would ask us, what was it all about? We can't bring it to mind. But trust me on this one. Everything you hear out of God's word goes into your computer bank, and it is stored there if you know it or not. And when the time comes, it will rise to the surface when you need it. Scripture will come to the surface. It's the Scripture's light that dispels darkness. It's the peace in the Scripture that takes over panic. And it's the faith that we learn about in the Scripture that conquers our fears. Jesus said, "Receive my peace. It is my continual gift to you." And the best way to receive this gift is to sit quietly in my presence, trusting me in every area of your life. Quietness and trust accomplish far more than you can imagine. Not only in you, but also on earth and in heaven. Sound familiar? The Lord's Prayer. That's what Jesus taught us. So when you trust me in a given area, you release that problem to my care. When you trust me in a given area, you release that person to my care. Now, spending time alone with Jesus can be a difficult discipline to master because it goes against the activity addiction of our age. You may appear to be doing nothing, but actually you're participating in battles going on within spiritual realms. You are waging spiritual war. You are not using weapons of the world, but with heavenly weapons which have divine power. Divine power to demolish strongholds. Jesus says, living close to me is a sure defense against evil. And living close to me, you are making the kingdom of God your main concern. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Old Testament, Isaiah 30:15. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel says. In repentance, in rest is your salvation. In quietness and in trust is your strength. The scripture says, but you would have none of it. For those of you who haven't had a close, intimate relationship with Jesus, how is that working out for you? 2 Corinthians 10:4. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We have prayer. We have faith. We have hope. We have love. We have God's word. And we have the helper, the Holy Spirit, to get us along. As of life, we have choices to make every single day. Let's say a stress stirrer comes along your way. The doctor decides you need an operation. The doctor finds a lump and thinks it's best that you have it removed. So there you are, walking out of the office. You've just been handed a cup of anxiety. What are you going to do with it? You can place it in one of two pots. You can dump your bad news into the vat of worry, pull out the spoon, turn on the fire, stew on it, stir it, mope on it a while, brood for a time, and it won't be long before you have a delightful pot of pessimism. Or, how about a different idea? The pot of prayer. Before the door of the doctor's office closes, give the problem to God. I receive your lordship, Heavenly Father. Nothing comes to me that hasn't passed through you. God's providence. In addition, stir in a healthy helping of gratitude. A little while ago, I thought, rehearse over your life and count the ways God has seen you through problems and trouble. And probably a lot of them are worse than the one you're going through right now. So, in addition, stirring in that helping gratitude. Your part, prayer and gratitude. God's part, peace and protection. Decisions, decisions. Have a wonderful Sunday. Have a greater eternity.